Amen. God bless you. Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew chapter 18. We've been studying through this book together. We've come to this portion of Scripture, probably one of the more familiar portions of Scripture in the Word of God. We've come to this in our study through this great book together. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11. I'm thankful this morning that no matter what life throws at us, God is bigger than that. And He's the answer to that. And we can thank Him for who He is no matter what's going on in our life. God is still sovereign. He is still on the throne. And for the child of God, everything's looking okay on the other side of the hill. Somebody say amen right there. Glory. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. If you're not glad you're saved, then you need to make sure you are saved. Amen. Amen this morning. I know what it is. That turkey is resting safely right there, isn't it? I was telling people, I don't have anything to preach this morning, so I'm just going to talk to you. I'm just kidding. Thanksgiving was great. I just didn't get a thing to eat. And that, Lord, now you know I'm kidding here, so don't, you know, anyway. That piece of peppermint candy that I had on the way to church today just really put me over the top. And calories of, I mean, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. Of course, the ribs I had and the turkey I had, and then I went over there and had something else. And those snacks at night, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. And the soft drinks that I'm supposed to stay away from, the gallon and a half that I had was phenomenal. You know what I mean? It was great. Yes. How many of y'all are sleepy? Would you raise your hand? You're sleepy? Yes. How many of y'all are lying? Would you raise your hand? Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep and of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. If you're reading through this, you know the emphasis is on one lost sheep. And this morning I preach to you on this subject, the importance of one. The importance of one. Let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Help our thoughts to be drawn heavenward. Challenge us from your word. Convict us from your word. Change us by your word. Comfort us with your word. Speak to us in a real way. Thank you for how you met with us on Tuesday night in such a great way. And I pray that you'll meet with us again this morning. If there's anything in my heart and life that hinders you, would you forgive me? Remove it. Get it out. I want nothing to hinder you, Lord. So remove all hindrances. Speak to us, we beg, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've heard how Jesus Christ would come if there was only one lost person in the world. Growing up, I'm not sure how much I really believed that. However, after studying this passage of Scripture, I know that statement is true. Let me say, I'm glad that God loves the multitude. But we see in this story that He loves the individual just as much. After all, the multitude is made up of just a lot of individuals in the first place, you see. And with this thought in mind, I want to consider the importance of one, just one. And in these four verses, I see three major thoughts as we consider the importance of one. And I want to challenge you with this. If you are saved today, then what He's talking about here is you. This is how much you meant to Him. And if you're not saved today, this is how much you mean to Him today. And He wants to do the same for you. There's three major thoughts I want you to see. Number one, we notice a statement. In verse number 11, notice this statement says, "For the why Jesus Christ came. And I say to you and submit to you this morning that this is a clear-cut, no question about it statement. My friends, Jesus did not come for social reform. Jesus did not come to set just a good pattern for living. Jesus came to save the lost. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might
be saved. John 12, 47, Jesus said, "For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." See, the Lord does not want us to make a mistake why he came to this earth some 2,000 years ago, why he was falsely accused, why he was spit upon, why he was mocked, scourged, beaten, and ultimately crucified. He did all of that to save the lost. This is the statement. Number two, let's notice the story. He gives a story in verses 12 and 13. Now relax. Points two and three do not go as fast as point number one just did. Number one, a statement. Number two, a story. Look at verse number 12. "How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep and of the 99 which went not astray." See, the Lord made a clear-cut statement about his purpose for coming to earth. It was to save the lost. Then he followed this statement up with a story, an illustration, to show just how important one lost sheep is to him. Now, under this, there are a couple of things I want you to see. First of all, under this, let's notice the sheep's condition. In this story, in this illustration, if you will, he brings out several things about the sheep first. The sheep's condition. As a matter of fact, we see three things that summarize the sheep's condition here. You see a past condition, a present condition, and a future condition. First of all, the past condition is, in verse 12, it went astray, past tense. Notice in verse number 12, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray. In the parallel accounts and so on, it talks about it went astray. This is the past tense of it. In other words, this verse shows that the shepherd did not leave the sheep, but the sheep left the shepherd in his own ignorance. And in the same way this morning, Isaiah 53, 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Psalm 58, 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You know what that means? That means even babies lie. And I've experienced that because I was one of them when I was a baby. And then when Judson and Jaden were younger, they would, I listen to me. Well, they still have problems with lying. My daughter, I shared this story with you, but my wife found when she was running her hands through our daughter's hair that she felt like there was some hair misplaced. It wasn't there. It's supposed to be there. And it wasn't there. So she figured out that, by the way, it didn't take a rocket scientist, but she figured out that she had found some stray scissors somewhere. So she cut her hair, put it under her bed. And when Becky found it, she said, "I didn't do that, Mommy." You know what we did? We said, "That's just so precious. Honey, you can have anything you want." I'm kidding. All I'm saying to you is this. You don't have to teach people to be bad. You have to teach your child to be bad. You have to teach them manners and teach them to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Why don't you have to teach them to say other things? Let me tell you why. Because we are sinners, friends. We are born in sin. The sheep's condition, it went astray, past tense. Now it's present condition. What is it? It is lost. In verses 12 and 13, it talks about doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray. If so be that he find it. Now, the account in Luke chapter 15, it puts it this way. It says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. See, the past tense, it went astray. The present tense, it is now lost. What we see in this is how that this sheep, when it left the fold of the shepherd, when it left the care of the shepherd, it was lost. away from the fold. My friends, listen to me. There's nothing more helpless than a lost sheep. Nothing. This one sheep was lost away from the security of the shepherd's care. And when we enter this world, we enter this world sinners. We have gone astray, and we are now lost in our sin. And we need the care of the shepherd. Number three, this is all the sheep's condition. It's past tense, it went astray. It's present tense, it was lost. It's future tense, it will perish. We see this in verse number 14 of our text. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. See, the bottom line is if the sheep is not found, it is just a matter of time before that sheep is destroyed. Just a matter of time. And in the same way this morning, friends, the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verses 7 to 9, here's what it says. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ," get this, "who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." See, the sheep does not stand a chance of survival alone in the wilderness without the care of the shepherd. This is the awful condition of this sheep. It went astray, past tense. It is lost, present tense, and unless it's found, it will perish. It's just a matter of time. That's the sheep's condition. This is all under the story. First of all, the sheep's condition. Secondly, let's notice the shepherd's compassion. I'm glad the story doesn't stop with the sheep going astray and the shepherd just saying, "Well, thank the Lord, I've got 99 left." Aren't you glad the shepherd's not like that? The shepherd's compassion. Now, as we see this one lost sheep. He went astray, he's away from the fold. He's getting closer and closer to destruction. The shepherd didn't have to do anything. After all, the sheep was the one who left him. He didn't leave the sheep left him. However, we see the shepherd loved and cared for this one sheep. And he, as well, did several things to prove it. As a matter of fact, there were three major things that summarized the sheep's condition, and there are three major things that summarize the shepherd's compassion for the sheep. First of all, under this, he went where it was. He went where it was. He went to the sheep. We see this in verse number 12. "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray?" See, we see in this how the shepherd went into the mountains in order to find the one sheep. In other words, the sheep could not come to him. It was lost. He must go to the sheep. Beautiful picture here. Beautiful picture here. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in this same book of the Bible, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21 and following, here's what it says. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph being raised from sleep did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Galatians chapter number 4, verses 4 and 5 puts it this way. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." 2 Corinthians 8, 9 puts it this way. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. See, get this, friends. Just like this shepherd realized that the sheep could never make it back to the fold without being destroyed, the Lord understands and understood that man in his lost condition can never earn heaven. Man in his lost condition can never become found. Man must have a Savior. And in order for that to take place, the great shepherd of the sheep, the chief shepherd of the fold, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, became man so that man might become a child of God. See, Christ was content with a manger when he was born so we could have a mansion when we die. All I'm saying to you is that the shepherd's compassion, he proved it in that he went where it was, and Jesus proved his love to me in that he came to me when I could never come to him. Secondly, we see he showed his compassion not only in that he went where it was, but secondly, he saved the sheep. He saved the sheep. We see this in verses 12 and 13 of our text. I'm not going to take time again to read those. You can read them there if you'd like to do that. But the sheep was completely helpless at this point in time. It was just a matter of time before some kind of a predator would find him. You know, whether it be a lion or something like that, would find this one lost sheep and have his way with him. It couldn't fight off the enemy. What's a helpless little sheep going to do if a lion comes out to it? Talk it out of eating him? What's it going to do? Headbutt him? No, he's completely helpless against his enemies. He really is. He cannot survive on his own. Here's what I'm saying. The sheep's survival depended completely upon the shepherd's salvation. In other words, he couldn't fight on his own. He couldn't save himself. If he tried, he's a goner. And my friends, listen, you cannot fight the devil in your flesh. He is more powerful than you. And he is more powerful than me. And if I try to earn my salvation in my flesh, I will fall flat on my face 100% of the time. What I'm saying here is this. If we are saved, it's not because we saved ourselves, it's because he saved us. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to every man, to all men. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What I'm saying to you, you don't work for a gift, friends. A gift is already bought. A gift has already been paid for. A gift is something that has been accomplished, and now all you do is you take it. See, the world cannot accept. What I'm talking about is the world's philosophy, the world's cults, the world's religions. They cannot accept the fact that they cannot earn salvation. They believe that they must do something to be saved. Are you listening to me? If you have to do anything, it is no longer a gift. Amen. It is now a purchase. And I'll guarantee us one thing, God is not going to let somebody come to heaven and say, aren't you glad that you kept the Ten Commandments? Aren't you glad you got wet in the baptistry? Aren't you glad that you did the best you could? No, you go to heaven, it'll be because it is by the blood of Jesus Christ, period. Amen. Plus, minus nothing. You show me any religion. Listen to me. There are not many religions in the world. There are two. There's not many beliefs in the world. There's two beliefs. You say, wait a minute. I thought the Jehovah's Witnesses believed this. I thought the Mormons believed that. I thought the Baptists believed this. I thought they believed that. That's where you're wrong. There are not many beliefs. There's two. You know what those beliefs are? I'm talking about for salvation. There's two. One of them says Christ did it all. The other one says You show me somebody, I don't care what religion they are, they'll either say he's not enough or he is enough. What I'm saying to you is, even if they don't believe in him, that still falls into this category that Jesus Christ, what he did, is not enough for me. And what I'm saying to you is that Jesus Christ is enough. He did finish it on the cross of Calvary. It is not joining this church. It is not turning over a new leaf. It is not being baptized. It is not doing the best you can. It is realizing that you are lost without God, without hope. And the great shepherd of the fold came to where you are. And he bled, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And he is enough to get you to heaven when you die. Salvation is by Christ and Christ alone. It is not anything to do with this church. And I'm emphasizing this church. This church cannot save you. This pastor cannot save you. Jesus can save you. And he's done enough to get it done. I'm glad that it's been done. I don't have to do anything. He's already done it for me. And now he offers it to me as a free gift. Who in their right mind would say no thank you? I'm telling you that he saved the sheep. The shepherd saved the sheep. And the only one that can save you is Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the fold. Then number three, it's all under the shepherd's compassion. Shouldn't get me worked up like that. I'm still trying to digest that Thanksgiving. If I fall over here, somebody make sure it's not a heart attack. Make sure, glory, I'm out of breath. Hallelujah. Number three, he rejoiced over the sheep. He went to where it was. He saved it. And then he got glad about it. Amen. We see this. Notice, as a matter of fact, you don't need to turn to it, but the parallel passage in Luke chapter 15, verses 5 to 7 teaches us this. Listen to this. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, Jesus goes on, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You know what that tells me? We had two precious children last week who trusted Christ as their Savior. They were brought in a little bit late, so I brought their decision slips with me. I've got them here somewhere. I'll have to locate them. I think they're back there. Two of them walked right up here with the worker that was with them. In other words, people were being dismissed last Sunday morning. And these two precious children come up. And I kneel down, and I hear you all are leaving and all that kind of stuff. And I kneel down, and both of them standing right here at the worker. And I said, did both of you trust Christ today? I said, so you've asked Jesus to come to your heart, forgive your sin, take you to heaven when you die? I said, you know what that means? They're looking at me. I said, that means you get to go to heaven someday. The Word of God teaches. Are you listening to me? That excites me that children are being saved, adults are being saved. That excites me. But nothing like the angels in heaven. You listen to me? Last week we talked about the angels taking care of his children. This week in the parallel passage, he talks about the angels rejoicing when just one person turns in repentance. Can you imagine what it must be like in heaven when somebody gets saved? Christians sometimes just say, well, I wonder if he meant it. I tell you, time will tell if he really got the real thing. Yeah. If he really did get saved, the angels, I don't know what they're doing up there, but they're rejoicing. And Jesus rejoices when he sees the salvation of sheep. Somebody put it this way: no creature strays more easily than a sheep. None is more heedless, none so incapable of finding its way back to the flock when once gone astray. It will bleat for the flock and still run on in the opposite direction to the place where the flock is. This I've often noticed. This is a shepherd, apparently, that's telling this story. No creature is more defenseless than a sheep and more exposed to be devoured by dogs and wild beasts. Even the fowls of the air seek their destruction. I have known ravens often attempt to destroy lambs by picking out their eyes, in which when they have succeeded, as the creature does not see whither it's going, it soon falls an easy prey to its destroyer. Sound biblical some to you, friends? The sheep is out there lost and wandering around, and the ravens of the air will come and pluck their eyeballs out so they can't see where they're going. They're blind. And when they fall prey, they come in for the kill. This person goes on to say, Satan is ever going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In order to succeed, he blinds the understanding of sinners. The New Testament teaches that. And then finds it an easy matter to tumble them into the pit of perdition. Who but for a Pharisee or a devil would find fault with the shepherd who endeavors to rescue his sheep from so much danger and ruin? See, the Lord knows how much danger these lost sheep are in. Many times a lost sheep doesn't realize the danger they're in. There are people today who are lost, is what I'm trying to say. I hope none of them in this auditorium, but it could be. There are people scattered around the world today who are lost and they know it. But they'll look you right in the face and say, not today. Not yet. My answer's no. You know their problem? They don't really understand the danger they're in. They have gone astray, they are lost, and they will perish. The shepherd of it all realized that the sheep could never make it to him in their own strength. So he came to the sheep. And he made it possible for the sheep to come to the fold. A dying for the sheep, bleeding for the sheep, being buried and rising again for the sheep. He knows that the devil is out to destroy. He knows that the devil's out to send people to hell, if you will. But he loves the world enough that he made it possible for the world to be saved. See, when Jesus bled and died, he was establishing a covenant that is powerful enough to forgive any sin around the world. And he's made that covenant, there's one entryway, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. If you trust him, you come into the covenant, you are now blood washed. And God the Father is no longer mad at you. He's pleased with you because he sees his Son. Jesus did all of this just for one. Just one. A statement, a story. Number three is summary. We've already summarized it, but let's just let the Lord summarize it himself. Verse number 14, notice how he summarized the whole thing. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Any questions? What is he saying here? This summary is short and to the point. Here's what he's saying. It is God's will that every single one is found. That's the will of God. He does not want one single person to perish. Not one. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody says, Jody, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I've been. Friends, he's not willing that any should perish. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. See, in this text, we see one lost sheep that went astray, was lost and perishing. He took the attention of the shepherd. Without this being true, the sheep would perish. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Luke 19:10, he says it again, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Ezekiel 34:16, I will seek that which was lost. I wonder this morning, are you lost? Are you a lost person? Are you saved is what I'm asking. If you are lost, it's just a matter of time before you are destroyed. Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire. But I have good news. Jesus is searching for you. Will you respond to his call or take your chances with the wild beast? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, the sheep's only chance of survival is the shepherd. The shepherd came looking, and even so, our lost soul's only chance is the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you. He really does. And if you're saved today, what a story to take to a lost and dying world. But if you're not saved today, why don't you trust him as your Savior? Somebody might say, I don't want him. Somebody might say, not now. Somebody might say, not yet. But that doesn't change the fact that somebody like that is still lost. And it's just a matter of time before they perish. The Bible says, for he is our God, and we the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. I ask you this question. Has the shepherd found you? Are you a Christian? If you are, it's only because he did it, you didn't. If you're not, he's seeking you this morning. And he wants to find you today. You know all he says you have to do? Call out to him. Call unto me. Call upon me. He'll hear your voice. He'll save your soul. And he'll deliver you from the roaring lion. The importance of just one. Just one. So as we come to a close, think to yourself, if I'm saved, he would have done all of that for just me. If you're not saved, I hope the Holy Spirit is helping you see, he did all of that for somebody like me. The decision's up to you. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Help us, I pray. Come and lead this invitation, guide it, and direct it. Please speak to us. May your will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. In this auditorium this morning, there are two types of people. There are those who are found, and there are those who are lost. There are those who are saved and those who are not. There are those who are going to heaven and those who are not. If you're here today and you know that Jesus has saved you, Jesus has changed your life. If you know that Jesus is there for you,
if he's forgiven your sin. If you're not relying on your baptism, your church membership, your good works, in other words, you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. You've accepted the gift of eternal life. Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know I'm saved. I'm not relying on anything I've done. I'm relying on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And you say, I'm glad I am a Christian. Be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. There's somebody here today that could not raise your hand to that. Thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. It really does. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. It says if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. He came to die for you. And we who could raise our hands saying we're saved, there was a day we could not raise our hand to that. Is there somebody tonight, say Jody, this morning, say Jody, I'm going to be honest. I believe I could be that one sheep that you're talking about today. I believe I could be that one lost sheep that's gone astray and lost and perishing. And I realize that what I need to do is call out to the shepherd. We're not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything. If you say, Jody, pray for me. I believe when you're talking about the importance of one, I believe I may be that one you're talking about. Have you say, Jody, that's me. Would you be honest? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I believe that one may be me. My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. Let me ask you this, Christian. If you're saved, you know that he saved you, right? And if you're saved, you know he's the only way of salvation. And if you're saved, you realize that without his salvation, there's no hope. And that without him, you and I would be burning in hell. Well, there's a lost and dying world that needs to hear that same story. There are sheep that's gone astray that don't even realize who Jesus is. They need a child of God to tell them. Let's all do our part. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Challenge our hearts who are saved to tell people about you. Somebody here that's lost, I pray that you'll save them. Show them their great danger that they're in. Please, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here and you need the Lord, if you need to be saved, or have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, you come, let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. You're not going to come to join this church, anything like that. You're coming to be saved. Or maybe you're a Christian, you say, Jody, I know somebody who's lost, and I need God to burden my heart for them. You come. Talk to God about it. Brother Gary sings. Come now. Would you do that?
Just as
come talk to God about
I
it.
Am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy in our lives. And I thank you for what you've done for me. Help us to be faithful to your word, no matter what. Just to faithfully preach it and teach it. Bless these precious people, our families. Give us a good day today. Bring us back tonight, if it be your will. Bless the visitors that are with us. Help us to be friendly and kind to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. If you are visiting with us, please take your visitor's card out to the Welcome Center. If you need to see me, I'll be up here just for a moment. God bless you. See you tonight.